This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. We are on the same clock as you now, having shifted our clocks back to our winter time on Saturday night. So those people who are communicating with others in Israel, remember, we are now on the same clock. And talking of things that are not war related, which is always very welcome when we have the opportunity to do so. Interestingly, the World Travel Awards have come out with their winners for 2024, covering the Middle East region. In particular, the best hotels in Israel have been officially announced. And for the second year in a row, the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Jerusalem has been voted as Israel's best hotel. Now, I've not had the opportunity to stay at the Waldorf Astoria in Jerusalem, but I know that it certainly has a great reputation. And one of the fantastic things about the Waldorf Astoria is its location. It couldn't be better situated, right on King David Street. And it also has easy access to the old city and to Mamilla. So a great hotel, apparently, as decided by the World Travel Awards. Interestingly, the American Colony Hotel in Jerusalem has been named as Israel's best boutique hotel. And that's a hotel that's on the east side of Jerusalem and has a really, really nice feel in an entirely different neighborhood in a different style, with a lot of Arab influence in the way that the hotel is designed and set up, but also a great award. And apparently the David Kempinski in Tel Aviv has Israel's best hotel suite. Again, I haven't had the opportunity to take part in that or to experience that, but
I've actually had the opportunity to stay at the Kempinski. It certainly wasn't a suite, but it was an amazing hotel. Really, really, absolutely.
It certainly has a great reputation. Relatively new hotel with a great reputation, and hopefully the tourists will be coming back to Israel now that we're in a slightly calmer period as far as war is concerned, and people would be encouraged to come back. I know that many of the airlines have begun to put flights back on again, so it's certainly a period where it feels like there will be more tourism in the near future, and hopefully those hotels will also experience it. But here's a really controversial story that was raised a little more than a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, which I wanted to share with listeners and maybe just get some views, because the Prime Minister has decided that he would like to rename the wall. And as we know, up until now, the war has been known as Swords of Iron. Howard, you and I have already said it kind of just doesn't roll off the tongue. It's not very easy. It's not very memorable. It kind of just doesn't feel right. And apparently the government and the prime minister felt the same thing. But then they went and decided upon a name which, in my humble opinion, still doesn't roll off the tongue very well. And it obviously has certain meanings and connotations in terms of its significance, the name. But it just doesn't kind of roll very well. And the new name that has been proposed is Milchemet Hatkuma, the War of Revival, Swords of Iron. Milchemet Hatkuma, War of Revival. I still think that this war is going to be called the 7th of October War. And that's certainly the way that I refer to it, because for me, you just can't forget how it started. It's kind of the same as the Yom Kippur war in a sense, although Simchat Torah war doesn't kind of quite roll off the tongue either. But I just feel that the 7th of October has become a certain significant date. And when people talk about the 7th of October, it's like, it's like the dates that you remember, September the 11th and dates like that, 7th of October. The moment you say that date, it has its own meaning. Everybody kind of understands what you're talking about. So I feel the 7th of October war represented well for me. How would you like Milchemet HaTkumah, the war of revival? What do the listeners think? I don't know. I think it's a controversial question. Here's the real issue, though, that there are so many fallen soldiers who have been buried whose gravestones reflect the swords of iron referenced to the war and have said they're not going to be changing gravestones now because the government has decided retroactively to change the name of this war. So clearly, there are many consequences for changing the name of the war in hindsight. But does that war name, does that name have more significance and more meaning? Is it worth changing the name for that?
Let's hear from you. 061-895-1019. The remains of the 13 hostages. Where are we with that? I know that there are efforts that have been stepped up to try and get these bodies back. What is the current status?
So let's just try and put all of the information into some sort of an order. First of all, we'll remember that the ceasefire agreement said those bodies will be returned within 72 hours. There wasn't really an allowance made for saying, well, they're going to be returned within 72 hours as long as we kind of know where they are or as long as they're easily accessible or whatever. It was just those bodies will be returned in 72 hours. That has clearly not happened. Now, immediately that the 72-hour time was announced, and that was a relatively firm kind of expectation, there were already attempts to try to drag things along a little bit and to say, well, we don't know where all of them are. And the moment you say, well, we don't know where all of them are, and you don't say which ones you do know and which ones you don't know, then it kind of becomes a little bit of a game. And I think that that's exactly what's happened. So initially, there were 28 bodies. We have thankfully managed to repatriate 15 of them to return home for the proper burial that they deserve. But that doesn't mean that we should lift our foot off the accelerator in terms of making sure that the remaining 13 come home. And it is our belief, and in fact, this information was given to J.D. Vance when he was here, the U.S. Vice President, to say that we believe that Hamas know where 9 out of those 13 bodies are. And even Israel seems to think that they know where 9 of those 13 bodies are. So there seems to only be some discussion or controversy surrounding 4 of the bodies, which we feel might well not be easily accessible. So that was the information that was given to Vice President J.D. Vance when he was here last week. Then President Trump, on his trip to the Far East, made a statement already the day before yesterday saying Hamas has been given 48 hours to sort this out. He's watching. Now, it's not clear when the 48 hours begins or ends and what might happen if the 48 hours goes by and nothing happens. But in the meantime, 5 consecutive days have gone by without anybody being returned. Friday night, we heard that 2 bodies were due to be returned. They were not returned. Then during the day on Saturday, we heard 2 bodies were due to be returned later in the day. They were not returned. Then yesterday, we heard that Egypt had sent a team into Gaza, including heavy equipment, to help to excavate bodies, to find and excavate bodies of Israeli hostages, or as Hamas likes to call them, Israeli prisoners. I don't know why they would be prisoners. They never did anything wrong. These are innocent individuals who are taken from music festivals, who are taken from their homes on kibbutzim, and whose bodies have been kept in Gaza. There is nothing prisoner-like about them. And yet, where even when Egypt sent its team in and was excavating, nothing seems to have materialized. We heard yesterday that Israel now understands that the body of Lieutenant Hadar Goldin, whose body has been excuse me, in Gaza, excuse me, for more than 10 years, because he is still from the previous war when his body was kidnapped at the end of that war. So the understanding now is that his body may well be in the so-called yellow zone, in an area which is under Israeli control, and so therefore could easily be accessed and brought home for burial. And there was talks yesterday that there was even a team of members of the Red Cross who were accompanied by, would you believe, Hamas operatives who came into the yellow zone under Israeli, with Israeli knowledge, to somehow indicate and excavate the body of Lieutenant Hadar Goldin. I think that Israel probably does know where his body is. There's been a long time for Israel to gather intelligence about the location of his body. And yet, even though it seems that his body may well be under the in the yellow zone itself, in the area of Khan Yunus, that's part of the yellow zone, the Israelis have somehow not excavated his body, because if it's under there, in an area under their control, you would have thought that they would have brought it back by now. So there seems to be quite a lot of confusion. Certain very specific statements being made, such as the ones that were made to Vice President J.D. Vance, and then indications and behavior which don't necessarily bear that out. So I don't know exactly what Israel knows and doesn't know about these bodies, and to what extent Hamas knows where these bodies are. One thing seems to be clear, however, is that there are going to be two, three, or four bodies which may never, ever be returned home, because they're simply under rubble or simply are not marked out. People don't really know specifically where they are. And so I fear, unfortunately, for some of those families who are waiting for their loved ones to be brought home for burial, that it may never happen due to the destruction and due to the lack of knowledge about exactly where the bodies are. So that's currently the status. But, you know, having said all of that, out of those 13 bodies, I suspect that the vast majority can be brought home for burial, should be brought home for burial.
I've been so skeptical about this.
The question, however, does remain about what happens if Hamas are not cooperative. In other words, is that a reason to go back to war? Is that a reason to reignite the conflict? So there is a very difficult question to be answered, having received our live hostages back, having received now most of those who were killed or taken dead, received them back for burial. Is it worth going back to war in order to insist upon the fulfillment of the term of the ceasefire agreement that the dead hostages.
It's an interesting question for listeners.
All of them.
061-895-1019. What do you think? Do you think that if Hamas doesn't honor this aspect of the agreement, that Israel should go back to war? Not are they justified. We know it's justified because that was the agreement. But should Israel, if you were making the decision, would you commit Israel? Would you send Israel back to war? 061-895-1019. And then, Anthony, the last of the living hostages finally left the hospital yesterday. What lies ahead for them?
So there was a great video showing Eviatar David, who was one of those who came out of Gaza in the worst possible state, really emaciated, very thin, emotionally very damaged. But there's a great video showing him draped in an Israeli flag at Beilinson Hospital, where he's been living for the last 2 weeks to help him recover from his experiences in Gaza and from the treatment that he received. The video shows him draped in the flag with members of the hospital staff who've been looking after the returned hostages. Off he goes to the wall where the light switches for the ward, and he officially turns the lights off. And then the video ends, but obviously the next step is for him to go home from there. And we do know that he was received home with a massive crowd. Came back to Kfar Saba, his father, has been somebody who's been involved in the Hatzolah in Israel for many, many years, and he received a guard of honor from Hatzolah on their motorbikes with their orange clothing, which is so recognizable, and crowds of people, flags, and everybody turning out in the street to welcome him home. This has been what the hostages have experienced. But of course, this is just the really the honeymoon period for them, where they get to eat things that they haven't eaten for ages, where they get to recover and recuperate, to see their families, to experience the first family Shabbat that they've had in 2 years. These are all things that they've been doing over the last 2 weeks, and some incredible photographs and videos, really heartwarming scenes to see how much they appreciate that. The most work really lies ahead for them, because many of them have got physical issues that need to be dealt with. Alon Ohel has already been through some eye surgery to try to fix the eye that was damaged by shrapnel. Many others have experienced physical damage. There have been stories about shock treatment, which have burnt limbs. And these hostages are going to need to recover from that. But of course, the psychological damage is probably the most and the most the least visible, because it's only going to come out over time. So they have gone home. All the hostages now have gone home to their families to recover, and that recovery is not insignificant. So we wish them much luck and success, and we hope that their recovery will be successful, that they will manage to reintegrate into the society and into their families. There are already great stories about returned hostages who have reunited with their partners, with their girlfriends, with their boyfriends, marriage proposals coming out on
Incredible.
video, showing former hostages proposing to their girlfriends. So
incredible.
some really heartwarming stories, but a lot of work still ahead to be done.
That is where we leave it, Anthony Reich. Thank you. As always, you can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45. Just a quick announcement from Bendita. Grayston Bridge is an unadulterated chaotic situation this morning. Not one cop there. All right, so if you can avoid that, please do so. 801.
That Israel report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.